Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine LaRoche. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We are going to be talking to Susan Source, who's the press relations manager for the 6th annual Rhode Island Comic Con, and they're coming to Rhode Island in November. So good morning, Susan. How are you doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, great. Thank you so much for calling in. Listen, I have a bunch of questions and a short amount of time, but I appreciate you calling in. And I know that you're super busy organizing the Rhode Island Comic Con, but I wanted to ask a very basic question of how you got started in Comic Con.
How I personally did?
Yes.
My husband actually is he publishes his own comic book. So I was part of the industry because I helped him promote it and publish it and so forth. And so 6 years ago when Rhode Island Comic Con came on the scene, I was on Facebook, saw an ad for it, and I'm like, wait a minute, we don't have one of those in Rhode Island. And my background is in promotions, and I emailed the organizer, Stephen Perry, and the rest is history.
Wow, it sure is, because I was looking at the magnificent list that you have here, excuse me, but I wanted to know, how do you get the stars to come and appear at Comic-Con? What's the process?
Well, we basically go through booking agents. In some cases, we know the booking agents, so we reach out to them, and in some cases, they actually come to us. Now that we're in our sixth year, many of our guests from years past have spoken to other potential guests, and the word is spreading, so they're contacting us and requesting to be at the show. And, you know, every year we approach it with a wish list of certain guests that we want to bring on board, and we reach out to their respective booking agents and take it from there.
Now, if you could have someone that's not on the list, who would be some of the people that you would really like to have for next year?
Well, for next year, this is a very high on the list, wish list, but I would love Robert Downey Jr., as many of our other fans would as well. And then my next wish list, like for this year, we have the Next Generation cast from Star Trek. Next year, I would love to see the Voyager cast from Star Trek be a reunion grouping. So that would be my wish list.
Wow.
Including the captain. So,
oh, yes, of course. Wow, that would be so awesome. You know, Robert Downey Jr. was here in Attleboro. He was shooting a film a couple of years ago. So he knows the area. So, try to reach out to him. That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, we'll keep wishing.
I'm sure. Listen, what are some of the challenges that you have to put this all together?
Well, you know, I wouldn't really call them challenges. It's just there's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. Working with the agents, working around their schedules, working with the facility that we are in, which we are in the Dunkin' Donut Center, the convention center, and this year we will actually have space in the Omni Hotel as well. So that's part of our expansion that you'll see over the coming years, we'll slowly start to expand throughout the city of Providence, which is our goal. So working with all of them, putting all those pieces of the puzzle together, organizing the vendors, we have an amazing staff that we work with, and everyone has their own roles and responsibilities within the project, which is what it is, the project. And it takes about a year to come into play. But it happens every year. I'll go by crook.
Oh, my God, I know. And you're so super organized, too. And I think that when you were saying about the Omni, is that where the panel discussions are going to be held?
There is going to be one area. We're going to be in the Narragansett Ballroom in the
right.
Omni.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that will be one of the ballroom, one of the panel rooms, yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. So how many, what can people expect when they go there?
Okay, so I really want to target this year the first-time Comic-Con
mm-hmm.
attendees because a show our size can be very overwhelming to someone that's not used to going to a Comic-Con, of this nature. We have over 125 celebrities and about, I don't even know how many artists between our artist alley. There's a lot to see and do. And depending on whether you're coming a day or 2 days or 3 days, the best thing to do is, if you're new, don't set your expectations too high as far as, oh, I want to meet every celebrity, because it's not going to happen. Even a veteran Comic-Con attendee can't meet all of the celebrities in one weekend. It's just, there's a lot of people. There are lines. I will not lie and sugarcoat it. There are lines. We manage them. We do the best, every possible effort to get everyone through. But there are lines. And we just suggest that everyone set expectations, reasonable expectations. We publish all of the information on our website. We have all of our guests listed. We have as many prices of autographs and photo ops that we can get our hands on. Take a look at those. In the coming week, we'll be publishing our panel schedule, our photo op schedule. Take a look at those. Really kind of set your path on what you want to do, but then leave some time for unexpected things, because there are so many things to see and do at Rhode Island Comic Con that you want to give yourself time to just experience it and watch the cosplay. Comic-Cons are an amazing place to people watch, because people are in costume and everyone is just so joyful and excited. It's just a very exuberant environment for 3 days. It's kind of like it's on fire for 3 days. And just be able to experience that, honestly.
I know that when I went to Foxwoods, that was the very first time that I had ever gone to a Comic-Con. And you're right about the expectations, because I thought, you know, I brought my little iPhone and I thought I would get some sound bites from some of the celebrities. And I was really impressed by the security and the bodyguards around the celebrities that I wanted to speak to. And it wasn't like that at all, which is fine. I mean, you do have to wait in a line. They weren't granting any interviews that Saturday that I was there, but I got a chance to meet some of them that were just really very, very nice. It was just a process, because there are so many people there that, you know, you can't stop and have a 10-minute dialogue. It just wouldn't happen. It won't happen. But if you go in with an open mind, like you said, and just go in and know that you can shake hands and say hello. If you want to pay extra money to have a picture taken with the celebrity, you know, that is your choice, and that's available too. And but many folks, like I enjoyed meeting so many other folks that were from the Seinfeld cast that were there, and Battlestar Galactica. They couldn't have been nicer to just have a conversation, you know.
Oh, and, they're lovely. They're lovely people.
They are. They sure are. Can you give us a little bit? I know I've got to take a break in about 4 minutes, and we have plenty of time. But can you explain what cosplay is? I was seeing signs all around that said cosplay this way. Can you explain to us what it is and what people do at cosplay?
It started out years ago where it was just an opportunity to wear your Halloween costume all year round. When you could dress up as your favorite character, and it's how you represent what you like and what your interests are. And but it has evolved. The hobby has evolved into, I don't even know what to call it, but it's expanded, it's exploded. Now you have people that are making elaborate costumes. Cosplay is not necessarily just going to your local Spirit of Halloween store and getting a Spider-Man costume. You can do that, and that's cosplay too. But at the same time, there are people that spend hundreds of dollars and hundreds of hours making elaborate costumes that represent characters in pop culture, in movies, TV, video games, anime, cartoon characters. I've seen people dressed up as the King from the Burger King commercial and Ronald McDonald. And it's just an opportunity to really represent physically the characters that you have grown up with, love, admire, amazing things. It's just amazing.
I was really...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was impressed by the families that had, had participated in cosplay, and they were all dressed up as stormtroopers, or they were all dressed up in a certain movie characters, like Indiana Jones, for instance, or Star Wars characters. I really thought that that was just really great and adorable.
And I think that's just likened to the way our society is now, because I see two groups of parents when I am at a convention like this and I'm on the floor. I see the parent who's walking around going, what is all of this? Trying to figure it out and why it's important. And then I see the parents that are right in there, and they're getting the autographs, and they're encouraging their kids to read comic books, and they're in costume. And, you know, it's amazing, because I think that when the parents embrace it, it really sends the message to the kids that everything is okay. And, you know, some kids that are into sports may pick on kids that are into comic books and so forth. And, you know, this whole bullying culture that is out there nowadays. But the geek culture is not like that. And having the parents be so actively involved in that, in the cosplay aspect of it, is really it's really great. And it really, I think it makes a big impact on the kid, too.
Oh, it definitely, it definitely does. I'm going to have to hold you there for 1 minute. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Hold on just 1 second. We'll be right back. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. My name is Elaine the Roach, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Seekonk Public Library will host award-winning pastel artist Gregory Matrak's workshop, Pastel Paint the $45 Million Flower, on Wednesday, November 8th at 6 p.m. In this new workshop, everyone from beginners to advanced artists will be able to create their own pastel painting. All skill levels are welcome, and all supplies will be provided. This program is jointly sponsored by the Seekonk Arts Council and the Friends of the Seekonk Public Library. Matrak's classes fill up quickly. You can contact the library at 508-336-8230 to register.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I spend a lot of time in my backyard. I feed the birds and the bees. I love my flowers. The color in my garden keeps the pink in my cheeks. I was very independent and thought I could take care of myself. I fell and I had to have Meals on Wheels. I love them. They're my savior. And I look forward to volunteers because they've all become my friends.
It's Meals on Wheels.
America, let's do lunch.
1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
For over 46 years, Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, has been offering services and programs for children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other disabilities. Amigo has been committed to building vital relationships with their expanding community on the local level. From day programs to transitional planning, Amigo provides a continuum of services and support for all ages. For more information, you can view their website at amigoinc.org.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
And good morning. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. I'm Elaine LaRoche, and I am talking to Susan Source. She is the press relations manager for the 6th Annual Rhode Island Comic Con, which is coming in November. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about cosplay and the elaborate costumes that folks dress up, and they enjoy dressing up. And like you said, there are beautiful costumes and even Disney characters. I was so amazed that so many little girls were having those beautiful yellow bell dresses. And it's just really great. But you know what, Susan, I was thinking, I found it more fascinating to talk to the artists that were actually drawing the cartoons and drawing like freehand. I was just so impressed by the talent that is there.
It's amazing. That, like I said earlier in our conversation, that's where I come from in this industry, is from the comic book side. And, you know, I've been incorporated into the celebrity guest side, but the comic books is kind of how I got in the industry. And in meeting all of them and seeing some of these artists that are so talented, and they're wonderful people, too, and it's a very close-knit community, so they all know each other, and whether they're published by Marvel in D.C. or they're self-published, they all just really support each other, and it's just amazing. They're great people and great artists, great talent as well.
Oh, yeah, because I was interested in the Disney characters and My Little Pony, because I have two little granddaughters who adore these characters. So I was able to get like a print from Disney and from Beauty and the Beast, and one of the Disney artists actually, I know that my granddaughter's not listening, so what I did is I had them personalize it, and then I went to My Little Pony, and the girl that was freelancing and drawing these beautiful ponies and rainbows, and I took a picture of her drawing, and I said to her, could you also, I'd like to buy a print too. So she autographed that for my little granddaughter who's six. So they're going to have framed pictures for Christmas. That's one of their presents.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I mean, but they couldn't have been nicer. Everybody that I had talked to, and you're right, there are some people that do self-publish, and they gave me a free comic book, and it was just a Japanese style comic book.
Yep.
And the different genres that they have there is just mind-boggling. And then there were comic books that I grew up with, you know, Archie and all of those, that they had a dealer that had over 1,000 comic books there, and it was great to, you know, to go back and remember that, you know, Scooby-Doo and
that's what I read when I was that age.
Right. So but what I wanted to ask you is, who are some of the nicest celebrities that you've had the pleasure of meeting?
Believe it or not, I have not, in my role, I haven't met many of them because I'm so busy that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But some of our regulars, Jason David Frank, Gil Gerard, I've met several Star Trek actors in my previous life before working for Rhode Island Comic Con. And, you know, I really haven't met anyone that I would say was not pleasant and easy to work with and just very outgoing to the fans. And they're there because they want to be there, and that's the important thing. And they give great experiences and memories for these folks that come through our doors, and that's our goal, is to give them that memory. And, you know, one of the things in our mission statement is that we want everyone who walks in that door to experience a little bit of their childhood, whether it's an 8-year-old walking through and meeting the voice of SpongeBob from a couple years ago, to someone that meets William Shatner this year from the original series of Star Trek.
Right.
You know, we want everyone to have a little bit of their childhood remembered at our shows.
And I think you do a fantastic job. I think that everybody goes away with a big, big smile on their faces. And, you know, if they don't have a picture of the celebrity, they have an autograph or an experience, an interaction that is just really memorable. And it will carry them the rest of their lives, I'm sure. But
absolutely.
You know what I wanted to ask you? I know that some of the celebrities charge for pictures and different things, but do they also get a compensation to attend Comic-Con, or they just do it because of they feel like it's the fans' time and they want to give back to the fans?
To be honest with you, Lorraine, it really depends on the guest, and those are all contractually confidential. So.
Oh, right, right. Interesting. Okay. And what is one of the best jobs? What is the best part of your job that you can say, wow, I can't believe I'm here doing this and pulling this all together? Like, what makes you happy?
What makes me happy is that after months of, because my role is not just press, it's also the social media and the advertising. So everything that goes into promoting the show, I'm primarily responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing our efforts result in thousands of people walking through the door is very surreal, you know, because you sit here at a computer and, you know, I write press releases and I send them out and I answer questions on social media and, you know, what is that the end result of all of those efforts? And seeing that first stream of people waiting to get in the door is very satisfying to me, because it you know, so many people in this world say they have a thankless job. We don't. We do not have a thankless job.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see the smiles and the laughter and the excitement and everything on the people's faces as they come and go throughout the weekend. And we get to do that this year. This is our fourth show this year. So we have gotten to do that four times this year. And thousands of people. So exciting, and it's so rewarding. I have never had a more rewarding job in all of my life, ever.
Wow, that is awesome. How many people are you expecting to come to Providence, Rhode Island, when they say the
last
show?
Last year we were at 81,000, so we are expecting to top that number.
Wow, really?
Yep.
That is amazing. That is amazing. Wow, oh, my God. And people come from all over the country, because I met some kids from California. They were all excited. They were here on vacation, but they seen the Comic-Con and they wanted to come down, and they came from Boston. And it was like, oh, my God. You know, I really didn't even understand how huge this was until I participated in going there, you know, and meeting some really interesting and great people. That's for sure.
Well, I got to top you on that one, Elaine, because this year for Rhode Island Comic-Con,
mm-hmm.
we have people from Germany, Japan, Indonesia, England, Ireland, Australia. Amazing. All over the world. They
wow.
know about Rhode Island Comic-Con. All over the world, and they're coming to our show.
You know, that's amazing. That really is phenomenal, too. And I don't know if it's the East Coast and the accessibility of travel here, but I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great. So 81,000 people came last year.
Yeah.
That is mind-boggling. It really is. And it's a tribute to your success, too, for getting out the word, too, of Comic-Con.
It is, and that's what makes it so rewarding. We actually received correspondence from a soldier in the Marines, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
it was, and he is actually he is stationed in Afghanistan, and he is taking his leave to come to Rhode Island Comic-Con.
Wow. Oh, my God. Now, that's dedication, that's for sure.
So when you hear things like that, and then you get email communications from people that are buying tickets for their kids' birthdays or early Christmas presents, and you just hear all of those stories, and it blows your mind. So, that's where all the thank comes in,
mm-hmm.
all the gratitude and the satisfaction.
Right, right. Wow. So you were saying earlier, one of my questions was, how long does it take for you and your staff to plan this Comic-Con? But you were saying about a year. It takes a good year to plan, like, one event and then just get all the celebrities together and the booking agents and the venue all together. It takes 1 year. So after this year, you probably are starting all over again for next year, correct?
Well, we've actually probably already started booking guests for next year. I don't hear about them until they're finalized, because my role is to announce them on social media. But I'm confident that we're already starting to book guests for next year. It's the main preparation takes about a year, but it happens way before then.
Right. Wow. So you've already contacted Robert Downey Jr.'s agent already, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I wish I had some pull, but I don't. I'm sorry.
I know. We need somebody.
I know. That would be really great. Well, maybe somebody who's listening to us can get the word out to him that we'd love to have him come to Comic-Con, because it would be great. And I'm sure he would have a blast. He really would. I was just looking at the your website, and it's very comprehensive. And tickets on Friday, like, you're encouraging, it almost looks like you're encouraging people to buy tickets on online, correct? Because
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Elaine, because to be perfectly honest with you, the last 2 years we have sold out. The 2 years ago, in 2015, we sold out about an hour and 15 minutes into Saturday. But last year, we sold out about a week and a half before the show even opened.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And we are already on track to sell out before the show opens this year.
We are
encouraging, because what's going to happen is, on Saturday, there is going to be a historical line outside the Dunkin' Donut Center that goes blocks through the city of Providence. We have people waiting to get in the door.
Right.
And the last thing that we want anyone to do is wait in that line, and they get to the door and it's sold out.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So that is why we are encouraging everyone, if you want a ticket, buy them online. Go to the Dunkin' Donut Center box office, buy them in person.
Mm-hmm.
Go to any Toy Vault location and buy tickets. The only ticket that's sold out right now is our VIP ticket, but we still have day tickets and we still have weekend tickets.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage people to buy them in advance. Please.
Right. Okay, listen, I'm going to stop you right there, because we're up against a break, and we will conclude our interview when we come back on the flip side. So hold on just 1 second, Susan. Thank you so much. And we will be right back after these messages.
Chef and gardener Liz Barber will present Edible Landscaping on Wednesday, October 25th at 6:30 p.m. at the Richards Memorial Library in North Attleboro. Join her for a slideshow tour through her edible gardens and learn how she has introduced vegetables, fruit trees, edible shrubs, and herbs to her garden. Registration is required for this event. If you are interested in attending, you can send an email to mholmes@salesinc.org.
Are you looking for more opportunity? The Literacy Center is here to help. We have free year-round classes in English, computer literacy, and high school equivalency. With the help of teachers and tutors, you can prepare for your citizenship test, make a resume, get ready for college, or learn how to speak better English. Classes held during the day, evening, or on Saturdays. View our website, theliteracycenter.com, or call 508-226-3603. The Literacy Center, building a better community.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Color me your color, baby. Color me your color. Color me your color, darling.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine, and I have Susan Source, who is the press relations manager for the 6th Annual Rhode Island Comic Con. So, Susan, tell me, can anyone attend the panel discussions, or do they have to sign up ahead of time?
No, anybody can come in. The way that it works is that we have a VIP line for each of our panels.
Okay.
And so anyone with a VIP badge would be allowed in first, and then general admission will be in until it's filled. That's one of the things about our panels is that we cannot have a standing room only due to fire regulations.
Right.
So once every seat is filled, then the panel is closed.
I see, right. So the VIP tickets, were you saying before, does that apply to the panel discussions as well?
It does.
Oh, okay, okay. So folks, you just have to go there, stand in a line to hope that you can get into a certain panel. And are they going to be over the location of the panels? Are they going to be over at the Omni Hotel, or are they going to be over at the convention center?
They're going to be both, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they'll be in both locations.
Oh, okay. And folks can get a list of what's happening when and where on the website?
It's coming the next week, I believe. We're just in the final stages of getting everyone approved and scheduled. And so once that's all finalized, then we'll announce it on social media, and the schedule will be posted on our website. And we also have a phone app that you can download from the Apple Store or the Google Play Store.
All right. Wow, that's good to know. All right, so we'll just have to give everybody a heads up that this is coming, and keep checking, and I'll give out the website over and over again until we hit. We should say, when is it? When is the Rhode Island Comic Con?
It is November 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Right. Great, because I was thinking about that, and I said, I'm almost ending your interview, when it's like, yeah. A couple more things, too, before we go. What are the age groups, would you say, that come to the Comic-Cons?
Well, the thing about it is we have also, within Comic-Con, we have a kids-con.
Oh, you do?
We do. It's a separate section that's devoted just to activities for the kids. So we have little ones that come in. We have teenagers, we have young adults, we've got, you know, your 20, 30-somethings, and then we've got older fans, too. So we really run the full spectrum of fans. There is no demographic for Comic-Cons. We run on interest groups as opposed to demographics.
Right.
Because it appeals to men, women, young, older. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. You have an eclectic group of folks that come down there, that's for sure.
We do. We do.
Right, right. Wow. So you had sent me an email about an after-party tickets. Are there any more available, or are they all gone?
No, our after-party tickets are still available.
They are. All right. You might want to put one aside for me then.
Well, they're still available on for sale.
Website. All right, so go up online and grab one there. Okay, that sounds good. I know that there are Comic Cons, there's TerraCon. We even here a few months ago, we had Hasbro Toy Company have HasCom. How many different varieties would you say that are cons? I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but it's catching on.
It is catching on. It depends on what you name it. You know, like for Rhode Island, and we use the name Comic-Con. But, you know, there's some shows out there that use the word festival. It's just an event that brings together pop culture. Whether they want to focus on comic books or celebrities or anime or just science fiction or just horror, paranormal. We bring together everything together, and we touch upon a little bit of every aspect of pop culture, including music this year. We are having Gene Simmons join us.
Right,
I've
seen that.
And he will actually be performing a Sunday evening concert. In addition to Gene Simmons, we also have Weird Al Yankovic this year, and we have Joey Fatone from NSYNC this year. So, you know, we touch upon every little tiny aspect that you can. We have gaming, everything that you could even imagine.
Wow, that's really great. From Providence, where are you going next with the Comic-Con? Where is your next venue?
We just released a press release last week. We will be doing Empire State Comic-Con in Albany, New York.
Wow.
And that is April 6th through the 8th. Mm-hmm. So that is our next show.
So you can have a little bit of a breather during the holidays, right, to regenerate yourself.
A little tiny bit. Mm-hmm. And Albany will be a smaller show to start. We always start our shows smaller. They don't all go like Rhode Island Comic Con, 80,000 people.
Right.
It'll be like a 10,000 attendee show in the Albany Capital Center.
Right.
Which is a brand new building. It's only about 7 months old at this point. So we're excited about that. And it's a new area for us. It's a new fan base out of New England. So it's going to be interesting. We're excited. I'm excited. I've never been to Albany before.
You'll have to tell me all about it, girl, because I haven't been to Albany either. But I think in April you'll be okay. The snow will probably be melting by then.
I hope so. Let's say a prayer now.
No, I hear you. I just have two more things and then I got to let you go. But why do you think Comic-Con is so popular?
Again, I think it's because it touches upon a little bit of everything for everybody. It gives somebody the opportunity to make dreams come true, to meet celebrities. I remember as a kid, okay, my world was music and soap operas. And I met a couple of soap opera people and a couple of music people, and getting their autograph was the biggest thing in the world. Who knew back then when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, that my world now, my career now, would be around making these dreams come true for people. And that's what I think appeals to them, the cosplay aspect, where they can be anyone they want to be for 3 days. They don't have to be themselves. They can escape and be some character. And there are some people that you will see at Rhode Island Comic Con that actually walk around in character. So they are dressed as that character and they act as that character for the whole weekend.
Right.
So it's a way to escape real life. I always say this, especially for shows when we have to travel and go away. Rhode Island, I go home every night because I live in Rhode Island. But for shows that we actually go away, I'm in a bubble for 3 days. And nothing can come in and pop my bubble. I'm just focused on having a great time and focusing on all of our guests, our artists, our fans. And that's what my focus is for 3 days, and nothing else matters in the world.
Right, and you do such a great job, too. I mean, even myself going into Foxwoods, you know, trying to find a parking space, trying to find where the location is of the Comic-Con. As soon as I went to that building, there was signage everywhere. I mean, it was a no-brainer. You did such great with directions and signage and people that were helping everybody. I mean, it was just really great. It was easy to maneuver around Comic-Con, and even families, too. I mean, there were people there helping people because, let's face it, little kids aren't going to be interested in you know, a certain aspect of saying, I mean, I love John O'Hurley. I've met him. But I mean, like, they're more interested in, like, My Little Pony or other things, the Star Wars, Star Trek, meeting the wrestlers and all of that stuff. And people were pointing to where things were. And I thought that was really, really great. You didn't feel like you were alone in this huge, huge convention center. I mean, it was huge. But to your credit, I just wanted to give you some really great positive feedback. People were smiling all the time. People were meeting the people that they went to see. I mean, we should tell folks that if there are certain celebrities that require you to pay a fee to do a meet and greet or a photo op, it isn't free. But some of them are very accessible that you can go up and you can talk to them without an autograph or a photo. And it's up to you. But I would say, you know, if you really want to meet, say, Lou Ferrigno and he's charging $50 or $60, then it's best to register online that, you know, this is somebody that you want. Or Weird Al Yankovic is going to be there too, among other people. And I'm going to, when I leave you in a few minutes, I'm going to read off the list of things, and we're going to banter for a couple more minutes with Jim Jones, my producer today. But, I mean, you've done such a great job. I know that it must take tremendous staff that is helping you do this and put this together. I mean, I can't say enough about it. Kudos to you and your staff. And Comic-Con is coming November 10th, 11th, and 12th. And like you were saying, Susan, to wrap up, make sure that you buy your tickets online or else you're not going to be able to get in. It looks like you've got, I mean, 81,000 people last year. I mean, I can only imagine what it's going to be this year.
And don't forget, you can buy tickets at the box office at Dunkin' Donuts Center or any Toy Vault location.
Oh, okay, great. So if they can't get online or if they're having trouble with that site, there are two places that you can go directly to the Dunkin' Donuts Center. And they're great
because they can use cash in those venues.
Right, right. Yes, so that's right.
For those that don't have credit cards and have to pay in cash, Dunkin' Donuts Center box office or any Toy Vault location.
Great. Well, listen, kiddo, I really thank you so much for coming on our show today, and we definitely will promote this each and every week until November 10th, 11th, and 12th, and I'll be going in on Saturday. So I will look you up and see you again, and again, I appreciate your time. I know it takes a tremendous amount of effort to put this on, and my sincere thank you and gratitude for sharing some of this time with us today.
Thank you, Elaine. I appreciate having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, and I'll be in touch, and I look forward to seeing you again on November 11th.
All right. I'll see you at the show.
Sounds great. Take care, Susan. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So there goes Susan, and gosh, all these people that are going to be coming, and when we take a break on the flip side, I'm going to be sharing this with you, and Jim Jones is here, and we're going to be talking a little bit about our favorite celebrities when we were growing up, and maybe even now. So you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
On October 26th from 6:30 to 8:15 p.m., Attleboro Area Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice, will introduce a Know Your Rights workshop in the Balfour Room of the Attleboro Public Library. A representative from the American Civil Liberties Union of Massachusetts will present the organization's Know Your Rights workshop, which will cover civilian rights and responsibilities in interacting with law enforcement and U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. This event is open to the public and pre-registration is not required.
Finding a mechanic or automotive repair facility can be an arduous task. Questions like, am I being overcharged or am I paying for work that doesn't need to be done, are valid concerns. Roberts Automotive understands this. That's why they abide by a code of ethics to help keep your mind at ease. When bringing your vehicle to Roberts Automotive, they'll explain how to correct existing problems and perform preventative maintenance. Most importantly, Roberts Automotive knows your vehicle is more than transportation, it's a lifeline to work, to school, for family. Roberts Automotive is located at 193 Pine Street in Attleboro. For more information and to view their code of ethics, you can visit their website at robertsautomotiveinc.net.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Call me.
Good morning, everyone, and I hope that you are enjoying this day. It's going to be a fabulous day. I hope Jim Corbin will be calling in next week, but not this week. We were talking to Susan Source, who's press relations manager from the 6th annual Rhode Island Comic Con, and they're going to be fired up on November 10th, 11th, and 12th. So we were talking to Susan a little bit just to talk to her about what goes on in Comic-Con, and I hope you've enjoyed our interview. And in studio right now, I have Jim Jones, and we're going to be talking about who is going to be coming to Comic-Con. And William Shatner is the one that pops out in front of me, and Christopher Lloyd and Back to the Future and, you know, Taxi fame, and Judd Reinhold. I wonder, you know, like, gosh, he was like a Beverly Hills Cop, 1, 2, 3, 7, whatever. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's just...
Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, yeah.
Seinfeld.
That's right. Oh, my God. He was the guy that was so nice.
The close talker.
The close talker. That's right. I forgot about that. Remember Barbara Hershey? Remember she's in Once Upon a Time, but... Wasn't she in Beaches with Bette Midler? Wasn't she the
Could
actress?
Be.
I think so. I was looking at it. And, oh, my God, Richard Dreyfuss is coming to town, the Goodbye Girl. And who could forget Close Encounters of the Third Kind? And Jaws, remember that? Oh, my God. But there's just so many people from Captain America, The Walking Dead, Harry Potter, The Avengers. I mean, we've even got, like, Gene Simmons coming. And if you want a photo with him... he charges $120, but that's a bargain, because if you go see him in concert, you have to spend $1,000 to meet and greet backstage.
Wow.
How do I know that? Is because I was watching his show. Gosh, the name just went out of my brain.
Family Jewels?
Yes, that's the one. And I said, wow, he seems so down to earth, and he was coming to the Xfinity Center with Kiss. And so I was calling up for VIP. They go, oh, yeah, you can get that. But a meet and greet with him, you know, and the band is $1,000. So I'm going, what? Did I hear you right? I said, nobody is worth $1,000. Mm. Excuse me. Well, maybe George Clooney.
Right. Warren Buffett. I'd spend $1,000 to spend, you know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes with him.
Oh, my God. Warren Buffett. Jeez. John Cusack is coming. And Freddie Prinze Jr.
Okay.
Imagine that. Weird Al Yankovic is coming, who I know everybody loves. He's a famous person that everybody loves. And he was in Providence at the Columbus Theater not too long ago.
Right.
And my daughter took my grandson there. And I believe they want to meet him, a meet and greet. And they didn't have a chance to do that. Beverly D'Angelo from National Lampoon. And the girl that plays Dana. She's going to be there, and the guy that has three names, Michael something Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall is going to be there, too. Mm-hmm. And Lou Ferrigno, who I think is great with the Incredible Hulk. It's two people that I was looking at. I'm going, what the heck? Val Kilmer is coming.
Okay.
And his thing is like Batman Forever, but they also say Top Gun. I don't remember him at Top Gun, but Batman Forever, I thought, wow.
I preferred him in Real Genius.
Oh, Real Genius.
That was a great movie.
Oh, my gosh. That is, God. And George Wendt from Cheers.
Norm
Peterson is coming to town. And you can have your picture taken with him for $50. So Robert Hayes of Airplane, all those silly movies and everything is great. But I think that most of the people I want to see is Lou Ferrigno. I think he's going to be really an interesting person to meet and greet. And of course, William Shatner is coming to town. Christopher Lloyd, if you go there, you can actually, they were going to bring a DeLorean car. So you can have a package deal. You can have a picture taken with him for like $80.
That's awesome.
Or $60 or whatever, because I didn't pay much attention because I think I'd just be walking on by. But if you really want the deluxe, I think for $100 or $120, you could have a picture with him and the DeLorean. Now, I would think if I was paying $120 to have a picture with him and the DeLorean, at least I would want to take a ride in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like have him take me around the bend.
Do you at least get to sit inside of the DeLorean?
I would insist on that, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, they had Speed Racer in Foxwoods, and they were charging $10 a picture if you sat in it for $10, a quick 2-second thing, and here's your picture sitting in the Speed Racer.
Yeah, I don't
Racer.
Understand Speed Racer.
Yeah, me either. But I think that, I think it's a great venue for people that are into cartoons and comics. And like I said, I really enjoy talking to the artists. the true artists. And one of them said, "Do you draw?" And I'm going, because I was in interview mode. I was so fascinated by, like, how did you start? Did you have to go to school? Some people went to formal training. Mm-hmm. Some of them are just saying, no, it's just an art that I kept trying and trying and trying, the different angles, the different shades, the different colors, the different this. I said, oh, my God. They said, you draw? I go, no. I said, I can't even draw a straight line. And they say, no, but you can do it. You can do it. I'm going, no, trust me. No, I really can't. And but I just have to admire the talent that mm-hmm. is in it. I mean, and she's right. Every single person that you talk to there, everybody that you approach is so awesome. And it's a certain personality type, I think, that you have to be nice to mm-hmm. people. There were long lines to buy comic books. And the dealers were, you know, I mean, there's like five dealers and there's like hundreds of people trying to go through thousands of your comic books. You know, mm-hmm. like I was going through Archie and different things. I said, oh, my God, I remember that. I remember that, too. But other people were coming around and trying to buy and look at the comic books and everything. And but nobody lost their cool. It was really great. And they even had like a movie set, which I thought I didn't even have time to even talk to her about this, but they had the Rocky Horror Picture Show movie. Mm-hmm. So they had that big plant that you could sit in and it looked like it ate you. You're sitting in this.
Oh, Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors, not yes. Rocky Horror. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Right. Yes. It was this
Audrey.
Big plant.
Audrey.
Sit in Audrey mm-hmm. and you sat there and they said, okay, lay down. And then the thing would come down and it looked like you. And so the kids were like looking at their parents and the parents knew exactly what they wanted to do, you know, but it was hysterically funny. And then they had Kermit there and then they had, Elmo. Yeah, it was Elmo was there and Kermit. That was really great. I was trying to listen to the Rainbow Connection, but they didn't play it.
No.
But it's a hodgepodge of people and everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's in a great mood. And it is a good family venue. I was wondering about that, like the age and the categories, because, you know, little kids get scared.
Right.
I mean, they're stormtroopers that are like 7 feet high. I mean, I know that there are people in mm-hmm. them, but I mean, they're very intimidating because they don't speak. And you go by them and they're, you know, standing mm-hmm. there and it's like, oh, geez. But it's a good experience. And I think that as long as I can go, I will go, because it does. I think what it does, it's like seeing a magic show, and I was talking to Bruce Calver about that. When people love magic because it brings you back to your childhood, like mm-hmm. that wonderment, that feeling of amazement comes back. And I think that that's what happens at Comic-Con when you see somebody that you've seen on television or you've seen an artist that is drawing your favorite comic book. You know, it's like in person. It's like so amazing. It's just really, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Now, my granddaughters, I think, are a little too young. They're 6 and 9. I would definitely wait till they're at least 12 to go, only because of crowd control.
Right.
I don't like crowds myself.
I mean, 80,000 people, that's a lot of people, even in the convention center and at the Dunk. So,
yes.
You know, it's rough. And my problem with these things is the blurring of the lines between what is part of the show and who are attending the show. You know, it's the same problem that I have with King Richard's Fair, is you don't know who is an actual performer and who's just a general admission person who's come in all dressed up and is acting all weird and crazy and so forth. And we went to HasCon, and I think I told you about this. We went to HasCon and they had My Little Pony. They had princesses and, you know, all part of that. And so we walking down, we see Captain America. And it's like, oh, let's take a picture with Captain America. Okay, so, you know, go over there and take a picture with Captain America. And then we start seeing lots of people walking around that aren't necessarily Hasbro related. And then we see this little lanyard around their neck with the label Superfan. And it's like, oh, these people aren't part of HasCon. These are just people walking around that my kids are taking pictures with. It's like, oh, this is terrible.
Yeah, but they don't know the difference.
No, they don't know the difference, but I'm like, yeah, okay. What tipped me off that these were cosplay players is that there was this Optimus Prime that was walking around.
Oh, I love Optimus Prime.
That was made of cardboard. And, you know, it was just
oh my God.
Some poor replica of of it. So,
yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah. I went to the Baltimore Inner Harbor, and they have Ripley's Believe It or Not. And at the entrance, they have Optimus Prime.
Okay.
And you go up there, and Bumblebee is the entrance. And they are like,
right.
Whew, they're huge, and they're metal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow. And people were just like, unbelievable. I mean, I'm fascinated by stuff like that. I really am.
Right.
That's a good kind of like sci-fi.
Right.
I don't like the scary kind of stuff. I know like it's Halloween coming up, and it's not my favorite time of year. But and all those horror movies and everything, I say go right to DVD. I have no desire to go see them at all. Not no, thank you. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I digress there because I can. So anyway, folks, as you're heading out on Saturday morning, I would like to thank Jim for stopping in and producing my show today. Thank you so much for being a great sport, and also for Susan Source to stop in and. She gave us a really good history about Rhode Island Comic Con, and don't forget, it's November 10th, 11th, and 12th. I would like to thank you, our listeners, each and every Saturday, and to remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on every single Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8, followed by Dave Kane and Company from 9 to noon. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening to my show, and meet me back here next Saturday to find out what's out and about in our community.